I want to do something just a little bit different this morning. Before you sit down, don't worry. I will let you go back to your seats. And I'm not even going to make you hold hands. But would everybody just come forward to like the first two rows? You don't have to stay there. It's all right. Just come forward. I want to do something. Worship team, if you would join them. And Cherise, come and join them. And we invite all of those who are joining us online to pretend like you're in the first two rows with us. Come on up here. Come on up here, or the first three rows, or wherever. You're a good-looking bunch when you all stand together. All right. I don't know. I knew if I put you together, you'd misbehave. So it is. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had opportunities to talk with many of you around different things. And if you look to your right or you look to your left, I will guarantee you that somebody standing next to you is facing some type of major thing in their life. It's just, as I've talked to people, whether it's loss or uncertainty about things that are happening or things that are looming out there, I've just talked to so many, and it's just heavy things in their lives. But you know, God chose to put us together. None of us are here by chance. He has orchestrated all of that. And probably one of the greatest gifts you'll ever be given is standing next to you. And when we look to the right or the left, so many times it's so easy to be overwhelmed by what we face individually. But I will guarantee you, when you look to your right or to your left, there's somebody standing next to you who is also walking through something very difficult, and it's when we stand together and realize that we're not alone, because isn't that the worst, is to feel alone in what you're facing? And it just, as we were worshiping this morning, the Lord just put this in my heart, and so what we're going to do is we're just going to, understanding that, look to your right, look to your left, turn around, look at the person behind you, and we're just going to together lift one another up. Because Scripture says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in our midst. And He cares for each individual, and He cares for the part that we carry in this moment as we participate in His body. And when one part does well, all do well. And I'm telling you that the body does better when it functions together than when it tries to operate separately. And so together, just as often in Scripture, you would just see the Lord would say, gather the people. Gather the people. So this morning, we're just lifting one another and approaching God on the promise of His word, that when we ask according to His word, He hears us. So I'm just going to lead in that, and then you can all be released to go back to your seats. But Father, here we are today together. Together, God, to honor You. Your word says that when we love one another, we honor You. Jesus, You said a new commandment I give you. Love one another the way I've loved you. And God, we look around and we recognize, God, the weight that we carry in this life. And God, whether it's a mountain or a molehill, if it's a Goliath to us, it is a Goliath. And God, we care one for another. We care for the things that we carry, the things that our neighbors carry, things we don't even know about. But we lift them before you because you are the burden bearer. And you said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, would you help us to rest and to know that we are not alone. We are yoked with you, but we are also yoked together. And would you remind us to pray often for those we journey with? Because when their load is lifted, God, it goes well with us too. And the body feels the strength of that. So, Spirit of God, would you do a work that only you can do in our lives and in our midst as we are here together before you? Would you meet every need in the God-appropriate way? If comfort is appropriate, God, then comfort. If provision is appropriate, then provide. If healing is appropriate, then be our healer. God, if peace and wholeness is what is appropriate, then be the God of all peace to us. God, you know, and we look for what you are doing, that we may partner with you in it, and that we may partner with one another as we walk together, each of us looking for a resurrection. God, we pray that you would be with all of those that are not able to be with us. God, for whatever reason, whether it's the distance of travel or illness or other situations, God, we lift them to you as well, and we ask that you would surround. God, would you remove the things that hold back? And God, would you pour out your Spirit in a fresh way on each life? And it's all of this in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so if you want, you can go back to your seat or you can stay sitting together as long as you behave yourself. When I did kids' church, there were certain kids I had to separate. It is great to see all of you today. I trust you made it through Thanksgiving. I made it through, and I'm proud to say that I didn't have to skip a belt loop this morning to get my pants on. So I did pretty good. Oh, it's winter now, in case you didn't notice. My goodness, it shows up all at once. Well, in lieu of what we just participated in, you know, I've just been marked. I was talking with Cassandra last night just about some things that God's been processing in my life over, you know, I always consider the past year, but it's, there's been a theme that grabs me, or something that guides my conversation with God, it seems, more and more. And that is the impact of the moment that he's given me. You know, if you take any number, no matter how big, no matter how big the number is, you come up with any number. If we brought a three-year-old kid in here, they could give us a number that doesn't even exist in our thinking, but it's probably out there someplace, but it doesn't matter how big it is. And when you hold it up against infinity, it becomes nothing. It becomes so small, it's not even visible. And then you think about our life, the span of however long our life is, and that in the light of and in view of eternity, it is nothing. Yet it has so much importance in the purposes and the plans that God has for his kingdom. And that, God, you've given me a moment. How am I spending that moment? Because there's a lot of things that vie for my attention, and I can be as ADHD as anybody and give my attention over here and over there and over there. And I read a book on time management one time, and it said, you know, it's easy to be efficient, but are we being effective? Because efficiency means you get a lot of things done, but effectiveness means you get the right things done. And of course, that takes us back to D.L. Moody's quote that our greatest fear should not be a failure, but at becoming good at things that will not matter. And saying, God, in the moment that you have given us, God, are we participating in ways that will matter to you? Is your kingdom coming and is your will being done? And that, to me, is encouraging because what that allows me to do is it allows me to set some things aside. You know, a lot of times we talk about yielding things over to God and giving him our problems. And for me, I am finding that the most realistic way to do that is I have to look at something and I have to go, is that really important right now? Or is it just something I'm worrying about? Is it something I really have control over? Do I have the ability to change it in the moment? Or is it just something maybe I'm overthinking and I just need to put it in your hands right now and say, God, I trust you. And in Psalms, again and again and again, I've started underlining it in my Bible, is the places where it makes the promises to those who take refuge in him. I like Psalms 37. Psalms 37 ends with a statement. And of course, I'm taking the middle section out, but it says in the last verse, you will be a strength to those in times of trouble because they take refuge in you. Isn't it interesting? To find God's strength, we must take refuge in him. God's strength isn't manifest when I can do it on my own. His strength comes when I take refuge in him. Where do I take refuge in him? In the moment. Why do I take refuge in him? Because I want to see his plans and purposes come to pass. And so I will take refuge in him. And so it's an amazing dynamic that we're considering as we do that individually, but God orchestrates that together to create his body. It's an amazing work he does. And so we've been looking at this mission statement to create healthy community in our community. And of course, we covered that at length, but it's really just the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And of course, there is no discipleship without community, and there is no community without individuals together. Right? What we did this morning, what we've been doing since we got here is community. Right? It's community and creating healthy community. And it's interesting, we're going to look at this today, but Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by the health of your community. When I was growing up as a kid, and most of you could probably share an experience at some place that we were a part of unhealthy community. And unfortunately, part of my story is the unhealthy community of my church. It was healthy and then it became very unhealthy. And I will guarantee you that the people who looked in my community knew that we were not healthy and they talked about us. Right? Jesus said something. He said, they will know you by what? By your love for one another. And I'm telling you that when God's love is at work in our hearts, community isn't an option. You can't help but be in community. Why? Because his love was not meant to be bottled up. It was meant to be shared. That's why he said, go and make disciples. Go and allow the dust of my love to get on others. Let them taste and see that I am good. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving dinner? I did. It was probably the best ever. It's funny, my mom always said this. My dad always said that. This is the best ever. It was really one of the best Thanksgiving dinners I can remember, but the only one I think about is the one in front of me. So it was really good, though. And you know that nobody had to tell me, hey, Brent, why don't you pick up another forkful of that and put it in your mouth? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you know that when something is good, you don't have to do anything to get people to eat it? They will come from all over the country to have your goods. How many of you have ever gone to the Mercantile in Polebridge? People come from all over the world to drive to the Mercantile in Polebridge to have their pastries. Why? Oh, taste and see that they're good. Our lives, I hope that someday somebody can say, Pastor Brent's life was the best pastry I ever had. I just kept coming for more because I tasted God in his life. I hope that's what can be said at the end. Not that I was good, but that he was good in me. And so here we are, create healthy community in our community. Jesus commanded from the beginning of the church that he said he would build, go and make disciples. And now we're considering the way forward in that mission. And I think it's important, and this is the first time that I've ever processed not only steps forward, but also the resistance that you will face because of that. Because when you do something and you invest yourself in something and you begin to go forward and you experience resistance, that's really healthy, right? It's a natural, as much as we don't like it, when you go to the gym, if you experience no resistance, nothing's happening, right? And it is the same way we invest ourselves and we feel resistance, but most often when we feel that resistance, what we experience is discouragement. Well, I'm discouraged because I thought if I did this, this would happen. Oh no, you should expect that if you do what God tells you to do, you're going to experience resistance. And so it's understanding that the resistance will come and knowing how to walk through it. This is what it looks like to walk through the resistance in a healthy way, right? Which is what we're called to do. What did Jesus promise us before he left? Oh, such a great promise. In this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. In other words, you're going to walk through this. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So, recognizing the way forward, but also recognizing and not being surprised when resistance comes. And when the resistance comes, to go, oh, I knew this was coming. Right? How many of you like surprises? I don't like surprises. Don't show up at my door at 11 o'clock at night and say, hi, Pastor Brent. Now, if I know you're coming at 11 at night, that's different, right? Oh, yeah, well, this isn't convenient, but I knew you were coming, right? It's the same way. We should know. We should expect. I mean, really, the little me wants God to wave his wand and go, Brent, you've been such a good boy. I'm just going to make it all better. I'm going to make it all flow nice. I'm going to make it all feel good. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you. Psych, I'm not going to do that. You would quit growing. You would quit approaching me. And you would quit seeing how I work in the chaos that was created in sin. It's not the way God wanted it from the beginning, but he is still going to be the victor in the end. Amen. All right. So we have been considering what we call a vision statement, but it's a way forward, and it also tells us about the resistance that we'll face. Harmonizing together in his service, looking forward, creating a greater capacity for God. Each of these four short statements brings a forward-moving focus, and they also let us in on the challenges that we will face and navigate together as we create healthy community together. Each of these four tenets, I'll just call them a tenet, each of these four tenets offer a firm footing from the scriptures. We draw these from scriptures. Footings that help us stand firm in every situation of life. So let's come back to the first statement, harmonizing together in the vision statement. When we did this, in the Acts 2 journey, I don't recall that we dedicated any of these as most important or said, oh, this one's got to be first, this one's got to be second. We just kind of found the statements and they had a flow and we followed it. But as I look at how they went together, many times when you look back, you see the hand of God going, I'm going to bring my priorities and I will help you understand what they are as you go. We don't always get the answers at the beginning, but we see them at the end, right? Obedience, you can't demand understanding before you obey. You just simply say, God, I'm going to obey, and I trust that you will help me understand as I go along. That's kind of one of these things. So harmonizing together, this opening segment realistically represents our greatest individual challenge in the healthy corporate function of the church. I believe this is our greatest challenge. One of the things that I caught growing up, and I really didn't realize it until yesterday when I was thinking through this, but harmonizing together was really not at the top of what we did at church. It was optional, really. Like, I'll get along with you as long as we see eye to eye on things, but if we're not there, I don't see that it's necessary to harmonize with you. That's just an honest statement. That's what I caught. It was really optional. Like, as long as I knew something and I was there a lot, like, that's what was most important. But harmonizing, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And of course, you see the fruit of that come out, don't we? You see the fruit of that come out, and we saw the fruit of that come out in my church, and lots of people went lots of different directions. And it's unfortunate because not only did it affect us, but it affected the body of Christ and that part of the body of Christ, and it affected our community. And now, you know, 40 years later, they're seeing some health in that area again. God sets priorities. It is dangerous to reprioritize God's priority. And of course, what is his number one priority? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. And out of that flows all of the rest of this. Obedience flows out of that love. Harmonizing flows out of that love. Everything that we would say is important in our lives flows from that love. It must flow from that love. If it doesn't flow from that love, it's flowing from me, and I'm still broken. And so what comes out is still going to be broken. So harmonizing together, realistically, probably our greatest individual challenge in the healthy corporate function. Harmony is not the outcome of sameness. Not the outcome of sameness. It's what I love about the body of Christ. Everybody doesn't have to be the same. I had a friend tell me when I first went into full-time ministry, and he was actually on staff with me, and he stopped me in the hall one day, and I've told you this. But he said, Brent, nobody will ever love what you love the way you love it. You need to know that. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to want everybody to be the same as you, and they're not. They're just not. Sameness does not create harmony, just as discord is not the outcome of diversity. Now, when I say sameness and diversity, I'm talking inside the context of the biblical framework, not how the world might use those terms at this point. And I will say that the world has hijacked most of these terms. They weren't theirs to start with, but they hijacked them and they use them however they want. So I'm going to use them the way they were intended. And like a rainbow represents God's promise. I'll never destroy you again like that, right? It's a covenant with God. I don't care who hijacked it and took it away. It's mine. I'll use it any way I want. And it's the same with when we talk about sameness and diversity inside of the biblical framework. It is a very diverse group of people. If you look around, very diverse group of people who have very much different life experience and have grown up in different places, and I've been in awe of some of the stories that many of you have told me about where you came from and how you got here and the things that you experienced while you're here. And I think God was very intentional about bringing you here. Harmony is not the outcome of sameness, and discord is not the outcome of diversity. Harmony and discord are the outcome of our choosing how we will personally respond to what is placed in front of us as we participate in community. Right? Can I say that if I'm in love with sameness, harmony is going to be very difficult. Why? Because you have to have diversity to have harmony. You have to. It has to be there. But when the harmony is together, it's the most beautiful thing you'll ever hear. Right? If you get a bunch of people all singing the same note, I'll listen to you for a few seconds. But you know what I'm going to look for? I'm going to go someplace where there's enough diversity to bring harmony, because I love harmony. I love to listen to it. It moves me. And I think that's why God created us to be in harmony together. The truth of Scripture as a whole always points us in this direction. That God has created each of us in his image, with a part of his image. And together, we represent him better than we do individually, right? Why? Because together you get a better picture of who he is, right? As we come together, we get a better picture of who God is. It's just like marriage. God created in his image man and woman. So when a husband and a wife are joined together, you get a better representation of who God is, right? Than they do individually. And that's why so often when you talk about in Scripture the kingdom of God, you will get the illustration of marriage joined in with that, because it gives us a better representation of who God is. And if anybody's ever been married, then you know that's one of your greatest challenges in marriage is harmony. Is harmony. Harmony and harmonizing proceed from God's creative intent. And I want you to watch how Jesus aligns his disciples with God's intent to move them forward in this mission and to help them meet the challenges that they will face together as they participate. So not only is he going to give them forward movement, he's going to equip them for the challenges that they will face as they move forward. Look at what he says, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, I said everything that is valuable in the kingdom will flow from this command. This command makes everything else possible. It's just like what Jesus said. He said the law and the prophets hinge on this command. Why? Well, if I love God and I love my neighbor, how likely is it that I'm going to steal from you? How likely is it that I'm going to lie to you? How likely is it that I'm going to covet what's yours? How likely is it that I'm going to come up with another God, right? The love makes everything else possible. And so love makes harmony possible. And so when Jesus said, love one another, automatically with that, we should know that there's going to be a challenge, right? If everybody was easy to love, we wouldn't even need to say it, would we? But when he says, love one another, what's he saying? There's a challenge awaiting you that will resist you loving one another. It's normal. Just because you've made up your mind to move this direction doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. And so he says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus did not say that they will know you love one another because you are all the same and you always agree. And you always see things exactly the same. That wasn't his command, was it? Go and be alike. Go and see things exactly the same. Go and always agree. Did he say that? No, matter of fact, very interesting, and I won't build any theology on this, but it always grabs me when I read it. Just let me say that. If you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, Paul makes this statement. He says, God has left differences in the church so that we will know those who are approved. Isn't that an interesting statement? Isn't that interesting? In other words, I want to see who's willing to do what I've asked them to do. Who will harmonize even when they don't necessarily agree? Now, I'm not talking about moral issues. I'm just talking about in life, there are things that bug me. How many of you have things in life that bug you? They're not morally wrong. They just bug me. And God says, well, and you know, maybe those are the hardest people to get along with. You want to know why? Because I can't tell them that they're wrong. You just bug me. This way you do that bugs me. The way you say that bugs me. And God says, well, Brent, step over it. Step over it and keep moving because I've called you to harmonize. And we're going to look at that a little bit today, but they will know us by our love for one another. What Jesus said is, when the world looks in and sees that you guys really love one another despite the challenges of difference, they will have no choice but to acknowledge my power at work in your midst. You know, I experienced that. I don't know how many of you remember Pastor Lee Swofford, but Pastor Lee was here for quite a few years, and it was him and Pastor Ken Ainsworth and I that initially joined together to do Beyond Borders for Christ down at the school, which for 8 years we just had an opportunity to minister in the community to the kids. And at one point, I think there was 9 churches involved. And somebody came to him in the grocery store. They found out what we were doing. And they're like, how can you guys do that? Like, don't you hate each other? Wow, he goes, kind of took me by surprise too. I'm like, boy, we must really have a reputation out there someplace. Like that we don't get along if we got a different sign hanging over the door. Ah, we got to change that. And I think we made a great run at changing that. And that's always been something. Anyway, that was for free. That's off topic. Not off topic, but it's not in my notes. So when the world looks in and sees that we love one another despite the challenges of difference, they have no choice but to acknowledge his work and power in our midst. God's priority stands firm. Love God. And from that love, love your neighbor. And harmony inside the appropriate boundaries of Scripture is the most challenging work you will ever engage in. The resistance is intense. Forward, purposeful movement in this area requires the power and the character of God. Harmonizing together. It is a choice. I find in Scripture, one of the tenets of Scripture, one of the principles of Scripture, is it always starts here first. It has to work here first. And I have the opportunity as an individual part to add my part to the group, just as you do as well. And so it begins as an individual choice, doesn't it? And then God takes it and brings it into a corporate setting. We must know for sure that God stands with us in power and intention. I mean, you think God's intentional? I want to say when we begin to talk about harmony, God stands with us. He knows this is hard work. It's been on the front burner since the beginning of time. In Genesis, what do we see happen? We see harmony lost. We see it first between Adam and Eve, then between Adam and Eve and creation, then in their family, right? Harmony disappears, leads to the first murder, right? And from that point, it's just downhill, but harmony goes. And so we've got to know when we move back in that direction that God stands with us in power and intent. intent. It is his intent to bring us into harmony. And Scripture talks about that in terms of maturity. It says, when you all mature into the fullness of Christ. And it's pointing at this harmony, or this harmony as a major component of that work that God is doing. So we have an overture that God stands with us in power and intention to transform sinful dysfunction into love's harmony. When you go outside of God's plan, what you find is sinful dysfunction. And sinful dysfunction will always, it's interesting, the enemy takes what God intended for good and he turns it into evil. God intended that our personal response would become part of community. What's the devil say? He says, take what's from the community for your good. Right? He can't create, he just twists. He just turns it around. And whenever you take God's priorities and you turn them around, you end up with sinful dysfunction. God says, well, in the midst of sinful dysfunction, I will teach you love's harmony. And when the world looks in at that, there's no denying what it is, right? It's the power of God. I want to show you God's intentionality. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Okay, everybody go like this. I am a member. God placed me here. Now look around you and say that. Doesn't God have a great sense of humor? People will come and they will ask, where should I go to church? I've had people ask this question. How do I know where I should go to church? I say, well, it always should start with a question, because God is very intentional about where he wants you, because where you are, he has a function for you. And there is an expectation that you will function, each member individually, for the common good of the whole. And so when you get pieces out of order, right, things don't function right. And so I always go, we've got to believe in God's intentionality, right? He placed each member just as he desired. Let me finish reading it. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And that can be a really nice sounding statement until you consider what Paul says God is really doing with it. He is going to put people in your life that are different from you. And God put them there on purpose to help us grow in love and mature in the harmony of healthy community. I would say, if you ever had a question about where you should be in the body of Christ, don't look for the place where it's easiest for you to fit in and people are most like you. That's probably not the place you need to be. The place you probably need to be is in the place where you go, wow, I'm really going to have to work with harmony here. But I think it's a God-honoring task to be able to see the harmony. Because you know what? Without you, your part of the body is missing something essential. You are so important to what happened. But what do I choose? Do I choose harmony or do I choose easy? Because easy usually doesn't include harmony, does it? Just means it's easy. I like that place. They think like me. They sing like me. They play the games I play. They watch the TV I watch. Not a lot of work for me to be there. Okay. Well, taking back what sinful dysfunction has distorted is a lot of work. But God stands with us in power and in intention. And I would say when you find that place and God says, this is the place, and you go, no, this isn't the place. That's probably the place. That's probably the place. Why? Because that's the place that you will grow in love. That's the place you will grow in harmony. It's a challenge. So, if you're looking and you're going, Pastor Brent, you're very challenging to me, you're in the right place. We had a pastor when I was in Billings, I was on staff. He was the youth pastor. And he had like a 100-pound body and a 400-pound mouth. And there was another little lady named Mary Jo Miller. I'll never forget. Mary Jo was about 4 foot nothing. And just the sweetest lady. But she was the head of our Bible quiz, senior Bible quiz, I believe. And so when I went on staff with the church, we all went to Helena to the senior Bible quiz meeting. And we got to Helena, and Dwight just knew the people whose buttons he could push. He just knew how to get the reins to your goat if you would let him have them. And Mary Jo, he was just pushing her buttons, and she... this... I had never heard her say a cross word. She stopped and she looked up at him. She had both her fists. Dwight, you're one of those people that God made just for the heck of it. And she didn't say heck, which is what really surprised me. And Dwight said, Mary Jo, I'm just here to help you with your love walk. And that cracked me up. I never forgot that. I don't think she did either. But that is a reality so often is God brings us to those places of, he goes, this is the cradle of love, right? And I'm not talking about the Billy Idol song. Rock the cradle of love. Never mind. I'm having a flashback. I think God has a great sense of humor as we look around who he has put you in community with just as he desired. Just as he desired. We spent some time this morning in prayer. I'm going to take a little more time on the end. We're going to do it just a little bit different today. I want to finish up a thought here. I'd encourage you to read the entire book of 1 Corinthians as it's full of this view on harmonizing together. The Corinthian church was having a difficult time, and a lot of it had to do with just individuality. They were very, one of the most marked instances of Paul's address actually hovers around communion. And he said they had taken one of the most sacred ordinances of the church and they had turned it into a time for selfishness. And Paul said, listen, look around. Discern the body of Christ. You're to care for one another, but you're not. You're one of you coming in, one's hungry, one's well-fed, one has nothing, the other one's getting drunk. He goes, don't you have homes to do this stuff in? He didn't even rebuke them because they did it. He just said, when you come together, don't you know that you're here for one another? Why are you acting like it's all about you? And he uses the element of communion to teach this to the Corinthian church. He goes, you're sick and dying because you don't discern the body of Christ. I challenge you that not only are we talking about the physical body of Christ, but we're talking about his body. He goes, you have no care for one another. You just think of yourselves. And so he talks about in our moment, it's important to realize that our part is important, but it is important that we are harmonizing together for the common good. And so I want to read just a shorter excerpt from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7, then I'm going to read verse 27. And he says, now there are varieties of gifts but the same Spirit, and varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. God placed a variety of gifts in our midst for the common good of all. That's harmony. Harmony is a good that is common to all. You know, there is a good that's common to me. If you ask me about any subject, Pastor Brent, what do you think about this? I will tell you about the good that is common to me. And you might disagree with me because that good is not common to you. But God says there is a good that's common to all. It is called the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And it's where Scripture says, as far as it has to do with you, pursue these things. He happens to be talking about peace when he says that. As far as it has to do with you, pursue peace with all men. What's he talking about? He's talking about a common good. When I offer my gift here, it should be for the common good, not just for my good, not just for how I see it. But I look around and I discern the body of Christ and I go, oh, we're all here together, and together we make up a part of the body of Christ. And I long for a harmony that sees us doing the things that God has planned for us to do. It empowers us to do discipleship and to create healthy community in our community. The love that Jesus spoke of in John 13 looks beyond what is good for me in the moment and seeks the common good of the church that Jesus is building. In healthy community, and I want to say this is an interesting dynamic, and it's not something I've thought about a lot, but it is something that I believe is true. And of course, I'm gonna present this in a context of if everything was right. How many of you know that's probably not going to happen? So I use the word all in here, recognizing that this is a long stretch for us here on earth. But listen to this thought. In a healthy community, it would be difficult to tell where the movement comes from because all exercise for the common good. Now, I have been in places where this is a very strong dynamic. You walk in and you look around and you go, wow, I felt ministered to in the presence of God from the time I walked in to the time I left, and I can't put my finger on where it came from. You want to know why? Because they're harmonizing well. It wasn't the pastor, it wasn't the worship team, it wasn't the Sunday school teacher, it wasn't the greeter at the door, it wasn't the kids' ministry. Somehow or another, they're harmonizing together and nothing stuck out as the thing. That's healthy. It's also difficult, right? Right? But I think as we pray and as we look to God, because right, with God, nothing is impossible. But to say, God, how do I add my part to the harmony in such a way that I'm not sticking out and it's not about me, but that as people come in, they're experiencing you just because there's harmony. Just because there's a harmony around who you are, and we are doing well at loving one another as he has loved us. And in that, harmony is growing. I think that's a good place to stop. I'll pick up. There's two, maybe three, but two specific passages of Scripture. If you wanted to this week, read Romans 12 and read Ephesians 4. You know, the church in Rome, the church in Ephesus, every major church that Paul ministered in faced this resistance. And if you look in there, you'll find that he talks about it. He talks about one body, he talks about giftings in the body, but he talks about how we are part of one another and that we minister and we give for the common good. And so we'll just, as we pick up next week, we will run through those. I want you to see those in Scripture. I want you to see this is a, it's a real deal. We say harmonizing together, but this is through and through the Scriptures. It's a part of the Scriptures as a whole. Again today, as we've gathered together, look around before you go. Grab a hand that maybe you haven't grabbed in a while. And if you feel led, you could ask them, how could I pray with you this week? Is there something, or just, however you're going to do it, commit to praying for somebody this week that's here. Because again, how many of you like to know you're being prayed for? Right? And sometimes I like to know who's praying for me. Sometimes I don't like to know who's praying for me. I always knew my mom was praying for me. A lot of times that didn't work out well for me. And I know she still prays for me. But do you know that that is such an elemental, foundational part of harmony? Is that I don't just show up and try to be nice to people. They're genuinely in my heart. I care for them and I'm loving them when nobody else sees but God. Right? Isn't that what he told us to do? And when you pray, don't be like the ones who stand out on the street and make a show of it because they want to be seen. Let your prayer flow from love because I know what that is. Right? We pray, we care for one another. If you have a concern for somebody you haven't seen in a while, make a commitment to love them in prayer this week. Oh God, I stand with them. I think as we ask those questions and as we practice those things, all that can happen is that the Spirit of God will get, he doesn't get greater in our lives, but he becomes much more evident, both to us and to those around us. And that is what we're called to, is to create healthy community in our community. To create healthy community in our community, we first have to be healthy, right? Or have a level of health. I am healthy in my body, but I am not perfect in my body, right? And it's the same thing. I'm doing what I know I should be doing. And when I learn I need to do something new, I'll do that too. Same way. Asking question, willing heart, and that, God, help me to love the way I've been loved. Because that was the commandment, and you knew that out of that commandment would come all this other stuff. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name freely in this place. Thank you for that gift. God, it is truly a gift that you have given us. God, may we never take it for granted. God, may the diversity in us never be to our deficit, but always to your greatness. God, we long to hear the harmony that you create as we commit our hearts to harmonize together. God, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done right here. God, not just in this building, but in our community. Hungry Horse, in Coram, in Martin City, in Columbia Falls, in Kalispell. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. God, this year, and as we process through this month where we celebrate and we remember your coming, God, I pray that others would taste and see that you are good. I pray that the dust of our lives that has been transformed by you would fall in the lives of others and that there would be a hunger that would be stirred. God, we pray that you would set the prisoner free, that you would give sight to the blind, and that your light would shine in the darkness. during the season, and I pray that we would be ready, God, when you release the captives, God, that we would be prepared to walk with them for the sake of teaching them to harmonize, which you have placed in their lives. And God, that we would be demonstrations of what you have commanded us. We thank you for all of these things, and we give you praise. God, would you go with each family? Would you go with each person? God, would your sense of nearness be more evident this week than it's ever been? And God, would you bring to our to our minds and our remembrances one another this week? We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.